In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with, we're on number 8 of the new way that our Lord is asking the priests to live. And so number 8 is, link with Louisa, the priest must strive for the true sanctity of living in the divine will. So after being linked to Louisa and linked to Jesus and Mary and Louisa, now he says you have to be, strive for true sanctity of living in the divine will. So this is something that is really exciting. We just celebrated Easter. Christ is risen. We've celebrated this new beginning, knowing that our God is risen from the dead. Again, we're going to go through some difficulties, but the main thing is not to lose hope, to have confidence in God, trust in God, belief in God. And when we do this, no matter what we face, God is with us, and there's nothing to worry about. So what we see, what we really, really begin to understand, let me just see if I can fix this thing here. I don't know if I can't. Okay. This is what Jesus says in the catechism. This is what the church teaches in the catechism, the stages of revelation, the covenant with Noah. Scripture thus expresses the height of sanctity that can be reached by those who live according to the covenant of Noah, waiting for Christ to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So this purification of Noah, the flood, the purification of the world, and with Jesus dying on the cross, washing us clean with his precious blood, now we're going to go through this fire from heaven. This fire from heaven is coming, and it is, for those who love God, it will be ecstasy. That's why Our Lady said it'll be good for some, it'll be bad for most. Most at this point don't want what God wants, and so there has to be a purification that is coming. So Our Lady says at MMP to Father Gobi, number 223, March 25th, 1981, yes, Father, your Heavenly Mother wants today to help you fulfill well and only the divine will. So here, Father Gobi did state to MMP, the Marian Woman of Priests, that we should be reading Louisa Picaretta. He gave a letter, I remember, to all the community, those priests who were studying the MMP, that divine will is the thing that God is calling us to. This will, this is the will of God. This is your sanctification, that you fulfill well and only the divine will. And this is what we're learning today as we read, study, and put this into practice. Letter of Louisa, number 8, there is an extreme need for true sanctity, especially in the priest, and only the omnipotent fiat of God has this power. So it's not the priests who are doing this, it's God who's doing this, and we are allowing God to do this. Remember St. Louis de Montfort, it said he'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, in the end times. And he said, it's nothing that they do, but what God is going to do for them. So as we hear, there is an extreme need for true sanctity, especially in the priest. And only the omnipotent fiat of God has this power to place in us the true order of sanctity with its creative strength. So here, Louisa knows that there's going to be a change. Jesus says, I'm going to purify the priesthood. I'm going to bring the priesthood to what he wanted from the beginning and without the interference of the human will. When the divine will reigns, when we surrender to God, when this divine will reigns, God then, he says, watch what's going to happen through the power of the priesthood. Watch what's going to happen with the unheard of prodigies that are going to happen in his church. Our Lady of Even America, she said that to Sister Mary Ephraim. It's this new and divine way of holiness that's coming to the earth that we are just going to be in awe of how much our God loves humanity, that in all of creation, all the I love yous of creation, all the I love yous of redemption are now flowing. This abundant grace is going to come upon earth. This is the outpouring of this Holy Spirit, which will basically put humanity in ecstasy. So Jesus says this, or Luisa says this in the letter 106 to a priest. So, dear Father, let us pray. And this is another thing that's very important. Pray with Luisa. Go to Luisa. Talk to Luisa. If you're reading the calendar, today was just spectacular what Jesus tells us about this grace that was poured into Luisa. It's going to be through what she has done, the firstborn, the newborn in the divine will, that all of us are going to participate in. So this is again important. Dear Father, let us pray. Let us do this will so holy. Let us live in this great gift of the divine will. May the divine will be our breath and our heartbeat. If we do so, we will be carried in the divine arms of God. And it will lower itself to breathe in our breathing, to beat in our heart beating, to move in our motion. So what we know is the way Adam began, when the Ruach of God, the breath of God, breathed into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And when Adam sinned, the original sin, the image and likeness of God were gone. And when Jesus and Mary came to earth, they gave to humanity again the Catholic life, this universal life. And through holy baptism, we are now in God's image, and we can continue to grow in this love of God, this universal life that our God wants us to possess. So which Luisa says, now the divine will, you be carried in the arms of God. He will breathe in our breathing, beat in our heart beating. He will move in our motion. The Lord will do what he originally planned for humanity, that humanity would be in God's image and likeness. And the likeness of God is doing what God does. So he will breathe in our breathing. He will beat in our heart beating. Then in the ardor of our love, we will say to God, I love you for all. I love you for all of humanity. I love, and for the love of you, I give you the heartbeat, the breath, the motion of all. So as we link ourselves to Luisa, we begin to do what Jesus and Mary taught Luisa, and that is letting God bring all of humanity. So like the first thing today in the reading, Luisa says, I fuse myself in the divine will to in Jesus. I fuse myself in Jesus, and then I can bring all of humanity with me to be fused in Jesus as well. So living in the divine will is to bring all of humanity with us. And when you pray, like we've mentioned this before, Jesus says that he hears all of humanity praying with our voice. Okay. He hears all of us in the divine will. It's Jesus praying, my praying in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. This is such a powerful explosion of I love yous to the throne of God that all of humanity is being heard as if all of humanity was praying. Okay. Now there will be those who will not want to pray. There will be those who will say, I'm going to do what I want. I mean, God doesn't take our free will away. He asks us to use our free will to decide, do we want to live in our human will which was misery? Or do we want to live in God's holy divine will, which is peace, joy, and happiness, which is heaven? So here, this is the thing that's so beautiful. It says, then in the ardor of our love, we will say to God, I love you for everyone, past, present, and future. And for the love of you, I give you, Lord, the heartbeat, the breath, the motion of everyone, past, present, and future. So we stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites. Jesus says, I want you to stand in the breach for all of humanity. Would you be willing to do that? He says, I can't give this gift of the divine will to everyone at this point because the human will is too strong. The human will is in charge. So he says, will you do this for them to prepare them to say yes? So again, the great thing is, you know, we care about our family, our friends, and we say to the Lord, I really want them in heaven. And God says, okay, do what I want and I'll do what you want. So with this confidence in God, with this trust in God, this hope in God, Christian hope is certitude, we are filled with a peace, a joy, and happiness, even though we know at this point they have not said yes to God. Because of this prayer, listen, in the art of our love, we will say to God, I love you for everyone, past, present, and future. And for the love of you, Lord God, I give you the heartbeat, the breath, the motion, of all of humanity, past, present, and future. So we're putting all of humanity in the lap of God with us, because that's what it says. We'll be carried in the arms of God. You bring everyone, not only your family, your friends, but all of humanity to the throne of God with you. And what happens is it, little by little, it breaks down the stubbornness of the heart of all of humanity. It breaks down the misery, the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. What happens is when we are in the arms of God, when we are carried by God, all of humanity, little by little, and this is the great joy, little by little, humanity is changing. Little by little, humanity is beginning to experience the love of God. Little by little, everything begins to work. Now, there will be souls who will say, I don't want this. And they will say no to God. They don't want heaven. But what we're doing is what would Jesus ask Louisa, if you do this, I'll take care of everything. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to heaven. But what it means is the souls that we pray for, the souls that we long for, the souls that Jesus longs for, that Mary longs for, it gives them an opportunity to say yes, to say fiat. And that's all God is waiting for. He's waiting for everyone to turn to him and say, you are the Lord. You are my king, my master, my God. You're my all. And whatever you want, I want to follow that. I want to be faithful to that. I want to be obedient to that. Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient. So what the Lord is looking, he's saying to us, would you be willing to do this? Now, as a priest, it's even greater. Why? When you're celebrating Mass, when you're, you know, at the consecration, and when you're praying the words of consecration, you also know that this is the name, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And you're bringing everyone to the throne of God. And with this, as Jesus said to Louisa, I'm waiting for the souls who must live in my divine will. This must is not a hope. It's a certitude that's going to happen. And so as we really begin to live this abundant life, there is really nothing to worry about. We begin to see things from a divine perspective. Our intellect becomes more clear, an understanding of what God wants. Our memory isn't about us and our family or our neighbors or our nation. It's about the family of God, what God has planned, what Jesus and Mary have wanted from the beginning. And then our human will. We use our free will to choose. I no longer want to live in this miserable condition. I want to live in the divine will. I want to participate in this abundant life. This is what's coming. So, and then, you know, Jesus, this is what Jesus is showing humanity, which is so great. Okay. He's asking us to really begin to enter into the fullness of the church, to read our dogma and our doctrine, go to the Holy Catechism, read sacred scripture, know our tradition. And what happens at that point is everything begins to go the way God wants it to. And that's what you're going to see here with the ninth part. Linked with Louisa, the priest must be the bearer of God to everyone. That's everyone in past, present, and future. So as I said about the pastors and the bishops, they are in charge of every soul in their diocese, the pastors, every soul in their parish, which means it's a grave responsibility and an awesome duty before God to make sure that everyone, we pray for everyone and for everything so that the kingdom can be established. So he says, this is what John Paul II said, you were always and everywhere the bearers of your particular vocation. You are the bearers of grace of Christ, the eternal priest. You are bearers of the charism of the good shepherds. Okay, so here is this grace that God has bestowed upon priests, the grace of Christ, the eternal priest, the bearer and charism of the good shepherd. This is our responsibility, our duty as priests. And this you can never forget. This you can never renounce. This you must put into practice at every moment, in every place, in every way. In this consists that supreme art to which Jesus Christ has called you. So this art of priesthood is to be alter Christus, another Christ, to, as he says, bearer of God to everyone. A lot of people are very much afraid of what's happening. A lot of people are very nervous of where their family is. A lot of people are very nervous. And our job is to be that father, that mother in a time of a storm, and to saying to the children, it's going to be okay. Why is it going to be okay? And no matter what you're going through, is because God is in charge. And that confidence in God helps others to begin to realize that when we worry, we say to God, you're not a good God. You're not a good God. So therefore I have to worry about this. And Jesus, this really hurts the Lord. I mean, to think about it, that we would worry about something that he is in charge of. It's to constantly say to the Lord in the divine will, Fiat, you're in charge. And when we're in a situation, it's, I wonder how you, Lord, are going to get us out of this situation, get us out of this difficulty, get us out of this problem. And always God surprises us. He always does. He doesn't let us down. We let him down all the time. But he doesn't let us down. And when we trust in him, when we believe in him, when we hope in him, when things are the darkest, that's the shepherd. That's the one who's protecting the sheep from the wolves that are out there wanting to rip the sheep apart. And so our job is to, he says, this being bearers of grace, the eternal priest, bearers of the charisms of the good shepherd, you must never forget this. You can never renounce this. You must put into practice at every moment, in every place, in every way. In this consists the supreme art to which Jesus Christ has called you, the supreme art in the direction of souls, wrote St. Gregory the Great. And this was the letter of His Holiness Pope John Paul II to all the priests on the occasion of Holy Thursday, 1979. That was the year I was ordained. That was the first Holy Thursday I celebrated as a priest. So the letter of Louisa in number 65, by living in the divine will, we must be the dwelling of God, the bearers of our creator, the ones in whom, in order to pour out his delirium of love, he was to become narrator of his divine being within the secret room of our human will. So here is the reason for the Book of Heaven. By living in it, we must be the dwelling of God. So Jesus shows us that the temple that we're supposed to be is God becomes our temple where we are in him. And he asks us to be his temple where he can dwell in us. So that's why he says very, very clearly, we must be the dwelling of God, the bearer of our, the bearers of our Creator. As Mary, as the Blessed Mother, was the bearer of the Creator, God also is calling us to be bearers of God, in the ones in whom, in order to pour out His delirium of love, Jesus was to become the narrator of His divine being within the secret room of our human will. So the more that we read and study and put this into practice, the more we enter into the book of heaven, the secret room where He teaches us about this great gift of the divine will. Every day, Jesus is teaching us. He's given us lessons. He's given us these knowledges, these truths, these promises, these secrets. He's always revealing to us as much as we want or as little as we want. When we search for God, when we really long for God in the book of heaven, what happens at that point is your whole life changes. He said, this is what happens. He says very clearly, the secret room of our human will, He begins to speak to us. And He speaks to us, each of us, differently. To the farmer, He speaks the way of farming. To the doctor, the way of being a doctor. To the priest, the way of being a priest. He teaches us how he has created us uniquely for what He has planned. And as He teaches us, He says to Louisa, He's creating His divine masterpiece in each of our souls. And then this is what the priest does with those that are around us. He gives us a way to explain to souls about their soul, how God is using the situation that they're in to bring about a new creation, a masterpiece of God. And so what the Lord needs is He needs the priests, He needs to teach the priests this shepherding that He says He's going to do. He says He's going to renew the priesthood. So He says, may all your life be transformed so much in the divine will as to feel its life more and more than yours. So what happens is your desires, your passions, your life changes when you read the book of heaven. Why? What Jesus shows us that what we want in the human manner, the human level, is really nothing that God wants. He wants us on a divine level. He wants us to be understanding from a divine perspective. He wants us to have a memory of Jesus and Mary. He wants us to learn how to surrender our human will. So everything is changing. Everything is changing with us. So He says this. And therefore He wants us to know how much He loves us, and that He wants us to live in His will with the same love with which children and father live. So He's asking us to enter into this abundant life of that the Lord is breathing. He's this world of God, this breath of God. He's getting ready to transform the face of the earth. The evil one has lost. He lost on the cross. Jesus conquered the evil one. And now after 2,000 years, now we're ready, Jesus says, to be sanctified. We're ready to let go of the human and embrace the divine. And that is really what the priest says every day of Holy Mass, putting the drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. It's a new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied, you know, at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. Echoing St. Honorable de Francia. And as we enter into this life, everything changes. It's God who is doing this. And this is why He says, therefore, He wants us to know how much He loves us. And this is why we meditate on Christ crucified and we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, not reading a book, not praying prayers, but actually falling in love with God. And St. Teresa says, if you can't fall in love with God, she says, of course, read a passage to get your mind right. And what will happen is little by little, as we focus on the divine will, the Lord is going to show us things that he says to Louisa he's never showed before. Why? It wasn't time to do that. Now is the time. Like Our Lady, I keep on going back to Our Lady of Revelation in Rome, Italy, 1947, saying to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. This is why the evil one is so furious. He's very angry. Her foot is crushing the head of the evil one. And as her heel comes down on his head, his tail is all over the place. This is where we are today. It's, as Our Lady said, this era is coming to an end. The new era of the new heavens and the new earth are right real close by. Read what Our Lady says to Father Gobi. Very clear. It's very, very clear. She says, get ready for the return of my son. What does Jesus say to St. Faustina? The final devotion that I give to my church before I return, which we're saying right now, this week, is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. Jesus, I hope in you. With certitude. I hope in you. The evil one's era is over, and we're going to witness this. I really firmly believe we're going to witness this because the kingdom is coming. And Jesus says to prove the kingdom is coming is the book of heaven. And as you read the book of heaven, each day as you read the book of heaven, there's no more worry. There's no more fear. There's no more anxiety. There's no more complaints. There's no more negativity, to the point where soon, I really believe there will be no more sin. Why? The kingdom is coming and the evil one will be gone. And all of the evil isn't going to bother us because it won't be here. So God is getting us ready. And it's very, very clear of the kingdom of heaven. He said 2,000 years ago is at hand. And with Louisa, it's here for those who want it. And there's no question. As you read, everything within us, every fiber of our being is being transmuted, Jesus says. As he speaks to us, as we read, as we begin to understand this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II said we're going to enter into, as we're reading this, as we're studying this, the evil one is farther and farther and farther away. He can't harm the children of the divine will. Why? If we're with Louisa, Louisa possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's what Jesus says. No saint ever possessed that before. They had a virtue or two of Jesus, a virtue or two of Mary, but to possess the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's why Jesus calls Louisa the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. So what he dictated to her, which what we find in the book of heaven, as we read it, as we study it, everything begins to change. Why? Because Jesus and Mary are breathing into us. He says, each word that I speak to you, Louisa, is a puff. He says, I can't fill you as Adam was filled with, because Adam was dust, infinite dust, if you want to say it, as much dust as God wanted. We're already formed. So he says, to have this enter into you, it's got to be word by word, sentence by sentence. And as he breathes this into us, he says, our capacity of understanding grows. That's why, and everybody's experienced this, when you read all 36 volumes, and then you go back to read all 36 volumes again, it's brand new. You go, I've never seen this before. Why? Those same words, he's expanding our capacity to understand even more, like it's brand new. And it is. And then when you read it again, there's more. And then when you read it again, he says, each word that I breathe is it's like a balloon, blowing up a balloon. I'm expanding your capacity to embrace the kingdom, to want the kingdom, to long for the kingdom. And that's what he says. He says to Louisa, I want you to know this. I want you to know this first, love this, and possess it. So those are the three things that he's asking of all of us. So as we continue, he goes, And therefore, God wants us to know how much he loves us, and God wants us to live in his will with the same love with which children and father live. Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? The one who does the will of the Father. When we're learning this will of the Father, what happens at that point is we have an intimacy with God. As Jesus said, who is my mother, my brother, the one that do the will of the Father, this blood relation, if you want to say, this pure blood relation that we have with our God. And that's what he's expecting. Letter of Luisa, number 111, to a priest, most reverend father, my most beautiful wish, that is sending you the divine will as bearer of the divine science, as bearer of light, as bearer of love and of peace. So the wish that Luisa breathes into the priest is the same thing here. My beautiful wish for the priesthood is that of sending you the divine will so that you can be the bearer of divine sanctity, that you can be the bearer of divine light, so that you can be the bearer of divine love and divine peace. You see why this is, Jesus says, I'm going to change my priesthood. This is going to be the priest, every bishop, every deacon, in such a way as to not wanting or seeing anything but divine will. The priest will be the one who brings the divine will to his community, to his parish, to his people. Listen to what this is just unbelievable. The wish that Luisa wants for the priests is the divine will to become the bearer of divine sanctity, of divine light, of divine love, of divine peace. That we be plunged into the sea and hide with you within this divine light in such a way as to not wanting or seeing anything but the divine will. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, there is nothing more that you want. There's nothing more that you can want. It's the ultimate gift. It's the gift. It's the life that Adam had when the Spirit of God breathed into him and he came out of the dust in the image and likeness of God. Through holy baptism, we are in God's image. And now with this gift of the divine will, we're learning how and why the kingdom is coming, how and why the divine will can reign in us on earth exactly the way the saints are in heaven. There will be no difference, Jesus said, between the children of the divine will on earth and the children of the divine will in heaven. The only difference will be ones will have bodies and the others won't have bodies. And God's got a surprise there too, which is really, really amazing. So he says this. So he says, this divine sanctity, divine light, divine love, divine peace is what the priest is to give to the laity. Okay. This sanctity, this light, this love, this peace plunges us into this ocean of light, love, peace, sanctity, and hides us within this divine light in such a way that we will not want to see anything but the divine will. And the souls will see nothing in us but the divine will. Even our human imperfections will be gone. It's God is saying what he has planned is very close, the sanctification of mankind. And he's asking the priests, would you be willing to begin to live this life? Would you be willing to begin to say fiat to this? It's the same thing that when the angel came to the Blessed Mother and said, you're going to be the mother of God. She goes, how can this be? She says, I've already vowed a life of virginity. I'm not going to know a man. How can I become the mother? What do I need to do? How can I help? And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She goes, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. It's the same thing here. How are we going to be bearers of divine sanctity, divine light, divine love, divine peace? How can we plunge into this ocean and hide within this light in such a way as not wanting to see anything but divine will? It's fiat. God, you're going to do it. You said you're going to do it. I let it be done as you say. This is the simplicity of the divine will. I can't do it. There's no way that I can do this, but I know that God wants this and he will do it. That's why I am sure it's going to happen. God is going to do this. That's the whole book of heaven. Jesus is explaining to Louisa what God has planned, what is missing in humanity. What is missing in humanity when Adam sinned, the original sin. And God says, now that you have been redeemed, Jesus and Mary, now Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and new Eve are here. He says, now sanctification is coming. So he's saying this 6,000 years of misery, we're going to enter into that seventh day, the 7,000th year. This is where we are in this new and divine way of holiness that's begun. It's begun for those souls who want it. It's very, very close. It's so close. Everything's changing. Everything's changing. And the Lord is saying to the priests, the sooner you get into this, the sooner the kingdom will be here. The sooner you begin to say fiat and read and study and say, okay, Lord. Okay, I see. I understand now why you're saying this. Let it be done as you say. Fiat mihi. Let it be done to me as you say. God says, good. He says, Louisa, get out of my way. He goes, let me do this. Louisa, no more questions, no more doubts. Let me accomplish what I have planned. God is going to do this. That's exactly what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, greatest saints, history of the church, history of the world. It's nothing that we have done, they have done, but what God has done for them. This is such a glorious time to be alive. It's really such a glorious time. May all your life be transformed so much in the divine will as to feel its life more than your own. Okay, so Jesus is saying, as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, as you begin to possess this gift, he says, let your life be focused solely on the divine will. This is what God is asking. Would you get out of the way so I can accomplish in you what I have planned from the beginning? This is his divine masterpiece that he wants to create in each and every one of us. He says, oh, how happy you will be. You will feel a creative power in all your necessary things and also in the good you want to do to souls. So you're going to experience God working in you like you've never experienced before. You will feel this creative power in everything that's necessary, but also in the good that you want to help with those souls. There's so many souls that are so upset, so worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative that in the divine will, you're going to find, like he says, necessary things to help them leave behind the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, and embrace a life of peace, joy, and happiness. This is what Jesus is saying. He says, in the divine will, you will feel that it is not you who are speaking. It's not you who are working. It's not you who are walking. It's not you who are loving, but it is Jesus who speaks, who works, who walks, who loves. I can guarantee this is what's happening to many, many souls, especially the priests that I know who have said yes. Their whole life is changing. Even more, Jesus is too jealous to let us do. Jesus wants to do everything himself. So you're going to feel the Lord in your thoughts, your words, your deeds. You're going to feel the Lord there. And you're going to know it's not you. Jesus says this. He is he is too jealous to let us do. He wants to do everything himself. So in order to do so, he puts his own will, own divine will, at our disposal. And you're going to see this more and more and more in the divine will. You're always saying to the Lord, thank you. It's always thank you, because you know, it's not you. We've done nothing. God is doing it. He says, goodness of God, how adorable, how great, how powerful you are. And that thanking God is going to be constant with the priest. Oh, how adorable, how great, how powerful you are. You are amazing. And this is the intimacy that you're going to have with the Lord. It's knowing that he's did this. We're doing nothing. Letter of Louisa, 128, to a priest. Dear Reverend Father, Holy Father, one who lives in the divine will can do everything and does everything and brings everyone to God and becomes the bearer of God to all. So here is, we just said God's doing everything. The one who lives in the divine will can do everything. Why? God is doing everything. Does everything because God is doing everything. Brings everyone to God because God is doing that. Basically, we stand back and we just watch and you go, I don't know how this happened, but God is here. God is present. And then the closeness to Our Lady becomes bearer of God to all. As our Lady brings us to Jesus, we, the priest, brings people to Jesus, all the children to Jesus, all those who are in need to Jesus, all those who are in agony to Jesus, all those who are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative to Jesus. He's the healer, not us. We don't do, we're supposed to have the spirit of the life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is why God has called us to priesthood. I mentioned that one priest who was in his 90s, and he said, I've waited for this all my life. And here at the end of his life, he's receiving this gift. And just to touch this gift is so amazing. Just to know that our God is doing this, that we were called from the beginning of time, predestined to live at this time. And just like Joan of Arc, we were called to live at this time. And that's what she said. Again, a 16-year-old girl, God said, basically, I want you to form an army and to defeat another army. And she says, I was born for this time. The priest has to have that confidence of what God is asking him. And as the priest reads the Book of Heaven, nothing's the same anymore. All your theology, all that you know about the saints, is everything's going to make perfect sense of why the saints have said these things, because it's to lead us to living in the divine will. It was like everything has been planned by God, everything. And what he's asking of us is get ready for God to be God. And what does that mean? For God to be God, it means that he's going to bring about sanctification to humanity. The time of the evil one is over. That's what Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947. It's now a time for God to reign. And God wins. It doesn't matter what's happening anywhere in the world. God says, I have to purify my church. I have to purify the world. And that's what he's doing. He's getting everything ready. And the more that we're reading, every day, the more we're going to see this abundant life, this abundant light, this abundant love come upon humanity. And I left my cross. Where did I put my cross? Wait a minute. Sorry for that. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, that all the little children of the holy divine will be divinely healed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Get ready for Divine Mercy Sunday. Good things are coming.